Praise God for the worship. Amen. Boy, that is really good. Amen. A good time to worship, to see the kids just growing in the ways of the Lord and being trained in the things that God wants them to be trained. I want to invite you to the book of Mark, as you see in your notes, if you have notes. We do have Bibles in the pews as well, if you don't have one. But if you have your Bible or your device and you want to go to Mark chapter 6 this morning with me, that's where we are going to be spending our time of the Word. Mark 6:30 all the way to verse 44. And as you know, we are going through the Gospel according to Mark. And as we do this, we come to this place in which the apostles return to Jesus after they have been gone, maybe for a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 5 weeks. We don't know, really. And they come excited. They come sharing everything that the Lord was able to do through them out in the fields. And it's amazing because during this time when they were gone, we have the story of Herod, which we saw last week. But then look in verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they have found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men." We're going to stop right there. And this message this morning, the title of it is A Time to Act. You know, as I go to a passage in the Bible, which is a great discipline for me, and not only just to prepare myself to teach it, but as I am doing that, you know, I'm receiving what God is saying here. One thing that came to me is how this moment of intense ministry under Jesus' leadership presented amazing results. I mean, remember what we saw a little bit in the past 2-3 weeks. People is being healed. Girls are being raised from the dead. Lepers are being cured. And now these things are taking place through the hands and the ministry of the disciples. Now, when they came back reporting to Jesus, we looked at they were doing this ministry in 3 ways. They were healing, they were teaching, and they were delivering people from the oppression of the devil. And as we look carefully at those 3 things that they did as they operated in the ministry of Christ through the Gospel of Mark, these things were causing a community transformation and awakening, a revival in the hearts of people, in such a way that multitudes are starting to recognize them. And you know, one of the things that you see when there are needs, real needs, and there is a place of provision and transformation or change, people will do anything they can to go to that place of help. Amen? If you really need something and you know a place where you can find it, you will go at great lengths to find that remedy for your life. So that's what's going on here. Now, it is in this story that Jesus is listening to the disciples and they are tired. It is intense. There is exhaustion and Jesus is looking for an opportunity to give them rest, to bring them to rest. But Jesus interrupts his time of rest with the disciples to minister to the needs of the multitudes of people that were following them. And the reason is, in the midst of all this intensity, Jesus says, this is a time to act. This is a moment to do something, though I wasn't planning on it because of the multitude that is coming. And if I look at Mark and I read through it, there is intensity in this gospel. There is a lot of productivity going on through Jesus and efficiency in everything that he did. And yet, Jesus was always focused. He was always calm. I don't picture Jesus running. I don't picture him being stressed or, you know, saying, I forgot something, you know, or, man, what did I do? No, he's always focused and he's always appropriate in everything that he's doing. But at this time, he says, let us go across. Let us take some time for ourselves. Let us rest because we are under so much tiredness and doing everything. And then when he gets to the edge, to the other side, he sees the multitude and he says, this is a time to act. And church, this is our time to act. Amen? Amen? Today is our time to act. We need to see and we need to look through this passage. Why did Jesus consider this a time to act instead of a time to rest? Why did Jesus interrupt his rest to help these people? And remember what Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. You know, as bad as it seems, there will be one day when this church will not be here. Are you aware of that? And hopefully the reason of that is because Christ came back and took us all with him. There is one day when the church will not be in the world. There is one day when our kids will not be home and they will not be able to listen to us. There is one day when our loved ones will be gone before the presence of the Lord. And the time that we had with them was used. How did we use that time? How did we operate under the opportunity, under the window of God that he has given us? He has given us. And so let's look in this passage. The first thing, when Jesus chooses this to be a time to act, he is moved by compassion. And I love this. This is kind of the second time that we go into this area of the compassion of Jesus, because we look at Jesus moved, motivated, and challenged with compassion. Even though it was a time to rest, he's choosing to do something about the situation. And as the disciples returned, Jesus encouraged them to rest. But when he saw the crowd, he's compassionate. Look in verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. There was such an intensity in this ministry, the ministry of Jesus, that they had no leisure to eat. I mean, they couldn't even eat. And so Jesus is saying and encouraging them to rest a while. And also, you know, as I look at this, you know, just a little glimpse of this is, there are times in our lives when the best thing we can do is just rest. Amen? Are you aware of that? When we are too busy, we are going in 100 directions. We have this ability to take more and more and more. I don't know if you notice that. Just a little something, just a little more commitments, you know, just one more thing to do throughout the week. And sometimes we're not functioning well. We are thin, operating in a thin way, and we're not doing the best we can in the areas that we are doing. A spiritual and physical exhaustion is a reality that demands rest. And if we are not strengthened by God in privacy, we will lose the effectiveness of our public ministry. If we think we can do it all in our own and we don't take the time to recuperate our strength in the Lord, we will fail. We will fail. And so that's why the Lord is, yes, he's teaching them something about privacy and renewal and being restrengthened by him. But at the same time, there is an eruption here. Now, look in verse 32. They went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. The best place for the disciples to rest was in a desolate place and in the company of Jesus. Just consider that for a moment. You know, they are busy, everything is intense, they don't have any time to eat. Let's go away to a desolate place by ourselves And what a place that is. It's not the place, but it's the person that they are with. And when we look at this, Jesus is taking them over there, and he's telling us something this morning. Likewise, spiritual and devotional reflection is one of the best ways for us to replenish and renew our strength to continue in ministry. What do we do when we are tired? You know, how is the strengthening part of our soul and emotion and mind taking place in our lives? You know, I look at this and I am reminded of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 when it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." If we are going to accomplish anything, if we are going to endure anything, if we are going to go somewhere, we have to be strengthened. And the place to be strengthened is in the presence of Jesus Christ, renewing ourselves and in devotion and in privacy. And as I look at this, you know, one of the things that come to me here in this passage right away is, am I busy doing the work of the Lord? Because there are some that are refusing to do what God has called them. There are some that are not focused and they lose the focus from time to time. And then there are those that are overworked in the ministry of the kingdom of God. And they are doing it in their own strength. And one of the challenges is, am I doing as the disciples are what God is calling me to do? And then as I look at this, are we part of those that minister to others in the things of God? How am I getting involved in the lives of people that are ministering either in the church or out in the community for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? And when I am doing that, how do I strengthen myself in times when I am weary and tired and exhausted and getting to something that seems to have no end? How do I choose to stop and go to the Lord and renew myself? When we are busy and we work in the ministry and responsibilities that God has entrusted us, how do we renew that strength? For me, you know, even though it may not seem like it, I am a very introvert person and I love to be alone. Monday is a day when my wife says, "You are quiet all day." Sometimes from Sunday evening, you know, I have no words to say. I go home and I love to wake up on Mondays and just spend time reading in the Word, praying, worshiping, sometimes just listening to someone share something. It's a time for me to not make many phone calls, you know, and just a time to gain strength. I hear people and they say, "Well, this is the way I decompress. I have to drink from the bottle. I have to have a six pack in order for me to be rested. Well, I have to watch a little something on the TV, you know, a movie." How do you decompress? How do you renew your strength? What is the thing that kind of makes you just relax and focus on the things that you should be focused again? Evaluate yourself. This is something that is important in this passage. But even though we look at this and we see the story of what's going on, we look at the reality of everything that Jesus is doing and how he's focused. And there were many times, maybe not this one, when he pulled them away and he encouraged the disciples to be strengthened in the midst of their intensity and everything that they were doing. Now, we have a call, and only through God we will be able to fulfill that call. So therefore, we are to be strengthened in God. Amen? We are to be strengthened in God. The reality of people's needs and the power of Jesus' ministry was attracting people in such a way that when people saw Jesus and the disciples here, they were running on foot ahead of them. Just for a moment, think of this. In verse 33, it says, "Many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them." I like to think of these, you know, again, as first century. There's no clinics, there's no pharmacies, there's no Gatorades to be running out there on food, okay? No energy drinks. This is people with real needs. And they look at Jesus, he jumps in the boat, and he goes into this sea, the Sea of Gennesaret, and it's an 8 mile long sea and a 5 mile wide lake or sea, and they see him taking shortcuts to go to Capernaum or to the other side. Now at this point in time, they're going all the way to the very north of the lake, and it is in Bethsaida, as we read, and they go around and they go running because they want to be there when the Lord gets there, because they do have needs. And something that I see is They realize and recognize the power of Jesus, but also they see the love of Jesus. See, they wouldn't go and wait for him if they didn't trust that Jesus was going to do something about their needs. It doesn't matter how many people with power we know. We will not go to them for help when we need help unless we know that they will help us. Amen? Amen. Unless we know that they have the heart of compassion to give us a hand. You know, when you know someone with the ability, the resources, but also the heart to help, you will go to that person because you trust them. There is something going on here. The power of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, but also the faith of these people going ahead of them. They recognize not only Jesus, they recognize the disciples now. They are becoming famous and they are being known for doing miracles too. So these needs were so overwhelming that people were desperately running to get help, and they saw the disciples convinced that the miracles of Jesus were their only solution. Even though rest was required, Jesus interrupted their time of rest to take care of the people's needs. Look in verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I didn't know that Moses is actually the first guy that wrote this. Lord, give them a prophet. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 17, he says, give them a prophet so that they will not be like sheep without a shepherd. And that's when God chooses Joshua to continue to lead the people of Israel to the desert, through the desert and through the new land that was given to them. And here, Jesus is seeing these people, and he sees them as people that are not being shepherded or taken care of. And he's compassionate about it. So the physical and spiritual needs were real. And he saw them. And the rest for Jesus and his disciples was necessary. Two things here. Okay, they have needs. And yes, we need a rest right now. But Jesus was directed by compassion. The priority of Jesus was directed by compassion. He said, okay, we need to rest. And just for a moment, look at the humanity of Jesus as well. He was just like us. He cried when Lazarus died. He was thirsty when he was in that well in Samaria. He was hungry when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know, he was in pain when he was in the cross, and he felt desolate and alone and abandoned when he said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? He was human in the same capacity that we are. And he needed a rest. He needed something to eat. He needed a time with his disciples. But here he is looking at these people, and he says, this is my time to act. And I am basing this on the needs of the people right now. So today, the needs continue to be very real. And the challenges are many. So our call as Christians is to be motivated by compassion. Do we have that compassion? As you drive through the county, as you go to work, as you meet people, as you see families, as you go to City Market. I mean, I am challenged by this myself. When I take a time with my kids to go to the ski area on Friday mornings, and I see people scrambling and pushing and just wanting to get things done their way, and everybody's in a hurry and they want to have fun, you know, and do I have compassion for people right there? Do I see them and I think, Lord, they don't know you. They will be one day before your presence, and they haven't heard the gospel. Or they know of the gospel, but they haven't applied themselves to the gospel. Jesus, in John chapter 4, 34 and 35, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. The call for us this morning is to look. You know, it's to take sometimes just a little glance to the people around us and realize where they are. And I was praying and thinking of this, and I thought, Lord, yes, we need revival. We need to realize the needs of the community and the people around us, the family that we are ministering continually. But do we have the compassion that you had? Do we see the need to look at the harvest and realize that you are calling us to be involved in the situations of many of the people's lives? Jesus' heart is always open and was always open to minister to the needs of people. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He was, in fact, in Luke, we read that Jesus welcomed people when they went over there in the northern part of the lake. And he was saying, you come to me and take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And yet he was open and he was always welcoming people, but at the same time he came. He went to the place of need. He came to this world, first of all, and then he went to Israel, to his own, and he went and he showed himself. Yes, they didn't recognize him, but he went to them. He went to Jerusalem. He went to Sidon. He went through Samaria because it was necessary for him to go there. To unlikely places he went, and he shared the truth and he opened his heart. And we are called in the same way to minister to the needs of others. People through the call and ministry that has been entrusted to us. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I love this passage. You know, this is one of my favorite passages in Corinthians. I'm going to have to say in chapter 5, okay? I look at this and I think, how amazing, you know. And I look at this in verse 17, who we are in Christ. So sometimes as Christians, you know, we spend our time and our weeks struggling just to, I mean, against the battle of the enemy, you know, under condemnation, you know, feeling lowly, you know, in a spirit of fear, coward sometimes, you know, wondering, even victimizing ourselves, you know. And remember who we are in Christ, amen? We have not been given a spirit of fear, amen, but of power and love and self-control. And look at this passage in verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So when we came to Christ, we were made new, and we have received a ministry which is called the ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry means in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. And entrusting, and not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. One of the things that I sometimes think is, how efficient and powerful would have been for the angels to share the gospel, right? Just consider that for a moment. Every Christian that was saved, just taken away to heaven. And the angels just, you know, battling the demons and oppression and Satan and just sharing the truth of the gospel. But you know what? God chose you. Amen? He chose us. He says, you are the ones who are new creation. And you are the ones who I'm going to entrust this ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, as a result of these, we are new in Christ. And we have a ministry. And the ministry is a message to reconcile. Therefore, we are ambassadors. Ambassadors of Christ. Oh, I don't see myself as an ambassador. I see myself as a Mexican. I see myself as an American, Mexican-American sometimes. I see myself as an immigrant. I see myself once in a while as a husband, as a father, you know, as a pastor once in a month or something, you know. Sometimes I realize that. But as an ambassador of Christ. Representing Christ. I mean, this is an honor. And God is making his appeal through us. And Paul implores us on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And we implore people in the same way to be reconciled to God. And then look at verse 21, which is a very deep verse. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ took upon himself the punishment that we deserve. And he did it through compassion. And if we are his ambassadors, we are to be compassionate. Jesus called. Jesus went. He ministered. He welcomed people. And we have a call. We have to have compassion. And we have to have conviction of this call. And then this will give us the hope to go on. You know, use your time. This is a time to act. You know, yes, people is roaring, you know. Things are just going well in some ways financially. You know, people, I don't know how this is going on in our world. You know, the debt in America is going crazy and all these things, you know. I don't understand. And I look at people and they don't really seem to have a need for God. But when you really look, When you really pay attention, there is a need going on. And we are to be there, proclaiming the teaching or the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, in this time to act, Jesus was moved to teach, not only to have compassion, but to teach. Even though it was a time to avoid people, Jesus was moved to teach. He recognized their needs, and he was moved to teach them many things. Look in verse 34, the second part. He began to teach them many things. There were needs, there was desperation, and there was faith in these people, and they were appealing the Lord for something. And then Jesus, in my own opinion, he takes a turn that I'm not seeing here, that I wasn't aware of. He's teaching them many things. There are weekends in my life, you know, when I teach, you know, on Saturday night and then in the morning and sometimes Sunday night. And after a full weekend, you know, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to be quiet. I'm ready to... And if somebody will come to me, it is easy to pray for that person and just say, let me pray with you. Let me just ask the Lord for a couple of minutes that he will help you in some ways. But to spend time teaching, you know, to really just say, you know, I'm going to interrupt everything. To teach, to share something from the Bible with you. That really requires a lot of strength, in my opinion, because I've experienced it when I've been just... After an overwhelming weekend, you know, I'm just ready to cross. And I look at this and Jesus is saying, yes, you need a miracle. I could pray for you and you all could be healed today. And I could just send you back to where you came from right away. Go back to where you came from. Be healed in the name of my Father. Maybe that could have been a good way to do it. But you know, he said, let me teach you many things. And then I look at this, he was moved to teach. And the truth is fundamental for transformation in those that are afflicted by sin and sickness and spiritual oppression. That's what's going on in these people. They have problems. And the problems are because of sin. And the problems are because of a spiritual oppression in their lives. And rather than the healing and rather than just a fixer-upper, they need to know why these problems are in their lives present. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to show you why you are in the place where you are. And I'm going to tell you how to get out of those places. And I'm going to bring to you freedom. But not just a freedom that lasts a day or two. I want to bring permanent freedom to your lives. And the best way to do it is to show you the fundamental problems. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews that believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Do you want to know the truth? See, in the midst of our problems and in the midst of everything that is going on, we need to struggle and we need to strive and we need to go deeper and deeper until we find with wisdom the true nature of things. That's truth. With wisdom, you know, to go deep at the root of the problem. Look when we read in verse 35, the first part of verse 35, it says, when it grew late. So, this was a long day. Here you are thinking it's going to be a 40-minute message this morning. Then we're going to be able to go home. It grew late, you know. Well, you know, you have to preach for 20 minutes because the span of attention for people now is very short. Well, I have a problem with that. We want to know the truth in 15 minutes, you know. Sometimes people come to the teacher or the pastor, you know, to me, and they ask a question and they say, how about marriage and divorce? How about tithing? How about raising your kids? Well, this is, you have time because this is a long answer. This is not a 2-minute answer. We are used to these one sentence answers, okay? And then we wonder why we don't know the truth. And Jesus spent that day, and it grew late. It is clear that Jesus taught them through the day, interrupting the time of rest that clearly was needed. Look in the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. On their return, the apostles told them all that they had done. This is the same story. By the way, this is the only miracle, one of the only miracles that is only in the four Gospels, that is in the four Gospels. And look what it says. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. And when the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them. Look at the love of Jesus, the compassion. You know, I wasn't thinking, but I'm going to share this story. There was this this night, you know, it was a Saturday night, I think, after church here, and we went home and we're having dinner. This is in the summertime, and as we're just beginning to eat, a couple of guys just knock at the door, and I look through the window, and I thought, okay, my brothers, the Mormons, are visiting me today, so I got to be fast here, you know. So I go, and I open the door, kind of, you know, just kind of, and I said, how can I help you today? Well, we're just, you know, the drill. We're visiting through the neighborhood, and they speak Spanish. I don't know how they know that I am Hispanic. Probably they've been there before, so, you know, I have to be a little more kind to them now, okay? So I have to welcome them. Well, welcome, I said. And so they kind of sneak in, and I'm like, well, guys, yeah, I am a pastor. I thought this is going to send them away. I am a pastor, and so we know the Bible. You know, I am a minister of the gospel too. Oh, great. Oh, great. So we start talking, and then all of a sudden, I look behind me here, and Jason and Raquel are close to me, and then Jason is hinting me and saying, Dad, share the gospel with him. Just tell him. Tell him what's going on. And I'm like, well, we have the food in the table here, son. I mean, I'm not saying it, but my expression is like, don't you see? We need to send them away. And anyways, I end up spending 30 minutes with them. You know, my wife said, do you want a cup of water? And obviously they want a cup of water, right? So I'm like, yeah, here we go now, you know, our night. And you know, how ready are we to share the truth with people? You know, my kids wanted it to see me sharing what I've shared with them many times to these people that I've said to them they need to know the truth. And they wanted me to be a living truth and a living testimony of what God does. Amen? But sometimes we're busy. We're not welcoming. And then look what it says here in Luke 9. You know, he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. I can picture Jesus, you know, teaching them the kingdom of God, the ideas and the structures and the formation of the kingdom of God. And he cured those who had need of healing. He took the time to go through the difficult things of the truth and share with them what they needed to hear. Throughout the Bible, we are commanded to learn the truth of God. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:11 says, command and teach these things. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. That doesn't take place unless you are teaching and know the truth. And then Paul says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. And I didn't know that this was in the early church a very common practice. You read the scripture, you exhort, explain what it means from the scripture, and then teach. A personal or living application of what that passage is saying right there. And so Paul is saying, one of the things that you got to spend your time, Timothy, over there in church is teaching the truth of God. You read the scriptures, you exhort, and you teach them according to the things that you are going through. So the truth of God gives us authority. And not only authority on who we are and how we are to operate and everything, but you know, it gives us formation. How we are to raise our children, how we are to live in our marriages, in our families, and inside the church, you know, in so many ways. But then also it gives us hope for tomorrow, for the day when trouble comes, for the day when we die. In 2 Timothy 3:14-16, it says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Not only you learn the truth once, somebody said, and I told you this, I said, have you read through the Bible? Oh yeah, I read through the Bible when I became a Christian 14 years ago. And I'm like, well, you are to continue reading through the Bible. You need to grow in the knowledge of the truth. And Paul is telling Timothy, continue there in what you have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We need wisdom. We need to grow in our faith in Christ. And then he says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Paul urged Timothy to continue in the truth that made him wise for salvation. And then if we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter writes, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. See, the word of God, the truth of God, purifies our soul. Not only that, it says, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. It is the word of God that allows us to be pure and also gives us the ability to be renewed. And we embrace the teaching. And we need to share the teaching of people, of the word with people, and in order for us to see that transformation. And in order for that to take place, we need to love the word, to grow in our knowledge of the word. And Jesus did that. He shared with them, moved to teach, because this was the time to act. Let me go forward here. In verse 35 of Mark, because the next thing that we see is Jesus was moved to provide. Even though it was a time to send them away, as I would have, Jesus provided food. And he's moved to provide food because this is a desolate place. If you remember, it's late now, and the day went on. They were many. There was not enough towns probably to provide food for them, so they were running to in the morning, reaching to Christ. So they are desperate. And in verse 35 it says, when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. I mean, this is a real concern of the disciples. And when I look at this concern, you know, it's reasonable. I mean, there's no food. They need to get going, Lord. And Jesus knew what he was going to do. In John chapter 6, we read that he knew what he was doing. But look at how he answered them. He said, you give them something to eat. Just think of that for a moment. You know, the challenge of, you give them something to eat. And so this is the way that the Lord made something important, emphasized something to them. You know, you will not be able to forget this ever. He wants me to give them something to eat? Are you sure? Am I sure I heard right? You want me to give them something to eat? And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? This was probably, you know, a denarii was a day of work salary. So, I mean, 200, it was probably the most you could save in a year, you know, of working hard. You don't work on Saturdays and Sundays. So obviously, we can think of this as maybe $40,000, $50,000, whatever, $60,000. If we go and buy this much in our place, the place where we live, of food, this will not be enough for them. And they say to him that, and they say, and he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Jesus saw the provision of their food on that evening as a critical need that needed to be satisfied. This is important. This was a great crowd that was counted by thousands. And as we saw, and look in the other Gospels, John 6:10 says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. By the way, this is a great picture of the good shepherd. You know, in the green grass. Put them in different groups. I'm going to feed you. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread that descended from heaven. I'm going to give you what you need today. Not only in regard to healings and deliverances. I'm going to teach you what you need to know for your soul, for your mind. But also because I love you and I am compassionate. I'm going to provide for you the physical needs of your body. Isn't our Lord a good Lord? I mean, he's so compassionate and loving. And I look at these, you know, and I think, Lord, I need to realize how compassionate you were and how compassionate you want me to be. When my kids are giggling and fighting and pushing and making noise in their bedroom at 10:35, and I'm like, really, am I going to have to go back to their bedroom again? I told them for the third time that they needed to be quiet. And I'm going over there. I'm not ready to be nice, to be loving, to be compassionate. That's what I need that. I'm being honest with you here. Because I don't know if this just happens to me, but you know, I'm like, okay, we prayed. You share all you had to share, because sometimes they want to share all day with me at 10 o'clock. I listen. We prayed. Good night, son. Good night, daughter. Good night, boys. And I leave, and you know, I'm finally getting ready to go to bed, and I can hear them, you know, and they're having so much fun. And it's just like, the more you think of it, you're like, I'm going to have to go back in there. Am I compassionate right there? Am I compassionate? Look at Jesus, what he's doing, you know. Am I willing to sit down with them? And am I willing to, Dad, can I have a cup of water? Well, yes, you can, but it's late. Yes, go get it soon. Come back. You know, it's funny because he's real, you know. You know you struggle with these things. You know you've been there. God wants us to be compassionate. God wants us to be compassionate. In Matthew 14:21, those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This was a big crowd. I mean, husbands, their wives, 10,000, you know. Two children, 20,000. Mother-in-law, 25,000, you know. The dog and the cat and everyone else. This is a big group right there, you know. You look at this, and Jesus is looking. I mean, just picture 25 or 20 without the mother-in-law, okay? 20,000 people in the field over there. And Jesus is going to feed them all. He's going to take care of them. This is a great miracle for these people. And you look at this, and the challenging commandment of Jesus for the disciples was, give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Emphasizing the importance of involvement that Jesus wants us to have in providing for the needs of the people. You get involved in the needs of those people. Well, I only have enough for me. I know that. But what are you going to do in the needs? 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. You know, when God calls us to do something, He will always provide for the needs. Amen? Are you aware of that? I mean, I've seen this so many times when I go to Mexico, you know, when we do mission trips, when we really say, Lord, I feel that you're calling me to do this. God will provide. Remember that. God will provide. And Jesus is telling them, there is no interruptions here, but opportunities. Yes, we were going to have a reflective time by ourselves, where you were going to share everything you did, and I was going to just rest with you and just enjoy what you did and accomplished in the ministry. But let me tell you, this is not an interruption. This is an opportunity. Do you see that sometimes? God is not interrupting. God is giving you an opportunity to minister to someone else, to get involved, to be part of a miracle in some way. So take the time to do that. Now in Mark 6:38, it says, and he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found, they said, when they have found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And one of the things that I see here, as we commit to do what Christ is calling us to do, our first commandment is to follow instructions. How can I get involved? How can I use this time to act? How can I be compassionate and teach? How can I provide for the needs of others? You just have to follow the instructions. Why is God telling you? You look at this and he says, go and see. Okay, bring the fish and the loaves to me and we'll do something about this. Look in verse 41. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, which they were little loaves. Okay, it was not a French bread, you know, this long. It was just a little loaf right here. Okay, and they will put the fish right on top of it and sometimes bake it, you know. If you look at it, they will do it in the dough, put the fish there and then bake it. And it was just a toasted, beautiful fish in the bread. Sounds good, right? It was only 5 of them and 2 fish in those breads. And then look what he says. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. I mean, just consider what was going on. Bread that didn't come from wheat, you know. Fish that never swim in a lake or in a river. And as he was dividing it, more and more people was grabbing and holding it. And it was multiplying. And they were probably thinking, how come he hasn't get done yet? How come he still has more there? It was a miracle A beautiful miracle. So as we follow His instructions, we're commanded to trust and rely on His supernatural power. And that's one of the things that sometimes we are afraid of. Lord, will You do something about this? Will You provide? Are You really going to show Yourself here in this situation? I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have to pray. I'm going to have to trust that God is going to do a miracle. And yes, He will, because God operates in the supernatural. Amen? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is the conviction of sins, of things that we have not seen. Things that we hope for, but we have no idea how they are going to appear in our lives. This is a supernatural work of Christ working and operating there. And then in Mark 6:43 and 44, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. I wonder why 12. There were 12 disciples. I don't know. This is amazing, you know, full of broken pieces and of the fish. Maybe the time they were going to be there in Bethsaida, was it for the boy? I don't know. There was a boy with that food there. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And as we rely on the Lord's instructions and power, we will experience the provision of God in a powerful way. This is our time to act. I don't know where you are, the circumstances that you are dealing with in your family, in your marriage, in the community where you are, in the place where you work. You know, let me tell you something. One of the things that we do is we get too busy. And then we blame our busyness on not doing what God is calling us to do. This is a time to pray. Yes, pray for opportunities to minister to other people. Pray for opportunities to teach. My prayer is that this church will become a pillar where the truth of God is being proclaimed from Sunday to Sunday and throughout the week. And yes, there are times when people will not choose to come to church. We will have to go to them. And times like the fire, you know, times like that we had in the fall, you know, times when in the community people is wondering what the church is going to be doing. That's when we need to step up and do what God is calling us to do. But we need to pray. And we need to rely on the supernatural work of God. So let us pray this morning and just ask the Lord for wisdom, for grace, and just thank Him for your provided needs, you know, everything that God has given you. What an amazing God we have. Lord, we thank You this morning that in Your mercy and Your love, Lord, and in Your compassion, You have shown Yourself to us, Lord. What a mighty thing, Lord. We were poor. We were lonely. We were desperately wicked, Lord, following our own desires and passions. And You brought us to the place when we saw Your goodness, Lord. And Lord, as we are in this place this morning, we pray for opportunities to minister to people, to challenge others, Lord, to do what You're calling them to do. Lord, we have been isolated. Yes. We have been doing our own thing, Lord. Yes. We have been going in our own ways, Lord. But You want us to be involved. You want us to realize that You are compassionate and You care. So Lord, give us that passion to minister, to serve, to be involved, to provide for the needs of others in many ways, Lord. And Lord, as we look at the impossibility, Lord, sometimes, and how can I counsel? How can I give some advice? How can I minister to this family or this couple or this person? Allow us to trust in You, because You are powerful. And Lord, Your hand has not shortened to heal. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And You will do, Lord, far more than we think or we imagine or we have prayed for by the work, the power that works within us, Lord. Thank You for Your grace on us. Guide us through this song, Lord, and through the end of this service and through our day and the week. In Your mighty name, amen.